You might not know this, and I don't know how you're going to take it, but I've been blessed. By an angel? No. Not an angel. Well, I don't know. Maybe. I've been blessed by Kim Fox, Cook County State's attorney. Bless his heart, she said in a text to her staff about a column I wrote about Kim Fox's weird move to drop all the charges on Jesse Smollett, you know, the fake hate crime manufacturer. And the column was about it, her OMG texting moments with her Obama celebrity friends. Wanted her to help Smollett. Bless his heart, Kim texted. You know who else was blessed by Kim this week? John Quarters Boyle, the twice convicted felon and boss of the Coalition for Better Government. He was blessed. How else would you describe it? He ran a red light 2 years ago, and Illinois State Comptroller Susana Mendoza was there. She says he almost killed her and her son, whooshed right by her. And a couple blocks down, she chased him on a bike. She chased him, and there was his truck and a crash. She took out her video camera. Maybe you've seen that video of a while ago. Mendoza says he was staggering. He was going through a convenience store, saying he was the police. She sent the video to Kim Fox, and guess what? Fox's office looked at the evidence and said, you know, there's really not enough there to increase the charges. Really, Kim, bless you. And bless you too, John Quarters Boyle. The charges weren't increased. He slams into a car, drives away before the police get there, so there's no breathalyzer, and he ends up paying a $500 fine and gets his license back? Why don't we all do this? Now, isn't that a blessing for Quarters Boyle? We'll talk to Susana Mendoza, the Illinois comptroller, in court, and Boyle's lawyer, Randy Ruckert, who tells me that justice can be found in Cook County. Really, Randy? And the sound of the Ave Maria of the Roman Catholic faithful during the fire of the great cathedral in Paris, Notre Dame, and the sound of political barking dogs here playing their conspiracy, anti-conspiracy theories. Oh, and one more thing. You know that House and Garden TV? You ever see it? HGTV? Flip or flop, fix or upper, love it or list it, let's open this space, let's open this wall. I hate them now. And I had to spend days in a hotel in Lombard because of that stupid network. I hate them. I'll tell you all about it. Jeff Carlin, executive producer of WGN's Rokon Show, is back at the WGN studio trying to make sense of this and dropping in some cool sound. And I'm John Cass, husband, father, gardener, hater of HGTV, and columnist for the Chicago Tribune. And you're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand with pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
When the fire broke out at Notre Dame, and the ancient cathedral went up, and the roof was destroyed, and the spire fell, there have been plenty of conspiracy theories on the political left and the political right, and there are plenty of dogs scratching for them and using them to provoke others, speculating about the motives of conspiracy theories or counter, I guess, double conspiracy theories. Is that the work of journalists or gossips? I leave them to their work. reading some of this nonsense from the paranoid right and the paranoid and virtue signaling left, well, I read some that were astounding in their stupidity and their complete lack of talent and reflection. So trolling for angry reactions during the time when people's, when the wound is so fresh, during this somber time of prayer and reflection and tragedy for the Cathedral of Notre Dame, I tell you, it has a sound. To me, it has a sound, and it sounds like the barking of dogs. It takes us from understanding what has been lost. The France that conceived and built the great Cathedral of Notre Dame was a supremely self-confident nation. But is France as self-confident now? Is Europe a self-confident place? And then, as they placed the stones for these great Gothic cathedrals, that great sweep of stone, it was a time when the people of France could lift their faces and look toward heaven unafraid. The French culture that built Notre Dame, construction began in 1163, was sure of itself. It was not consumed by sophistry. It wasn't a culture where ridicule was the coin of the realm and hypocrisy was its twin. So it wasn't like the modern United States with our Palace of Versailles in Washington and our palace guards who are journalists and our courtiers and schemers. And it wasn't revolutionary France insisting and afraid for equality for all, but so angry that they had the guillotine and the madness of the mob and blood and rolling heads and torture and fear. Like I said, the France that built the Cathedral of Notre Dame was a culture that could clearly look to heaven unashamed. Notre Dame stood through the plague and the Hundred Years' War. It withstood the French Revolution when radicals of the time sought to turn it into a secular church of reason. And now, Western Europe is among the most secular regions on earth. It's according to a Pew study about Europeans raised as Christian who no longer identify as Christian. And I don't think the Pew Research Center is involved in conspiracy theories. And also, Western European fertility rates are dropping as pressure and pressure immigration style from North Africa and the Middle East push northward. Many centuries before, barbarians of the north pushed southward into Rome and Greece. The Dorian invasion, for one, the Goths that went into Rome were another. That's not conspiracy theory. That's just history. There is a truth, though, and you could hear it in the voices of the faithful outside Notre Dame. They sang the Ave Maria. Of course history is important, and of course it is forgotten, or let's say some of it is conveniently not mentioned by some on the left, especially the ones who are writing much of the idiocy about Notre Dame today. There was a time when Notre Dame itself was converted away from Christianity. During that French Revolution I told you about, it was converted into a temple of reason. The priests were forced to convert and become civil servants. In other words, serving the state, bowing to the state, not to God. And that is the forgotten bitter fruit of the entitlement, isn't it? And the altars were covered. The statuary of Greek philosophers were put on the altar, and a woman, a goddess, dressed up in red, white, and blue, called Liberty, was to be worshipped. And the provincials who resisted, provincials like me, and maybe you, were tortured and worse. Those doing all the forced organizing and converting, those banning religion and imposing reason by force of the mob, they called themselves Republicans, but they weren't really Republicans like the way you think they might be, like in America. There was nothing conservative about them. Yes, they were liberal, but they were more like the Antifa shock troops of the hard left today. More like socialists, militant and angry. They outlawed Christianity. They imposed the Church of Reason. The desecration of the churches, Notre Dame itself was converted to a hideous temple of reason under the careful eye of Robespierre and his Republican thugs. And this senseless savagery, the unbridled visceral rage, is this what modern Europe considers to be the fruit of the entitlement? I read that in a Roman Catholic blog. Reading it was terrible. I mean, the writing was excellent, but it was depressing. Reading the stuff I've been reading about the left and the right here arguing over who started it and did Islamists start it or did they not and all that. Like I said, that takes you away from the time because this is Holy Week. This is not the time to point fingers. For my Western Christian friends, this is the time that they are preparing their souls for the resurrection of Christ. The Greeks come on the 28th of April. And all I think of now is that fire and what was lost and what it reminds us of what's already been lost. And the sound of the people singing Ave Maria and whether they might be able to reclaim something of what they've lost again. You know, when Adrian, Rocky's wife Adrian, you know her? When she wakes up from that coma in Rocky 2, and Rocky has to fight Apollo Creed, and she didn't want him to fight Apollo Creed, and then she went into the coma, and he didn't even see the baby till he, you know, till she opened her eyes, and everyone was happy, and she called Rocky over, and Adrian said, Rocky, I want you to do something for me. He's like, what, Adrian? She said, win. Beat Apollo Creed. Win, Rocky. And that got me so, I don't know. It gets me like that all the time. Or like when I watch Goal, A Dream Begins, and Santiago Munoz, the player for Newcastle, the hero and young star, shouts across to his friend Glenn Foy, the actor who played Stannis Baratheon, the murderous Stannis Baratheon in the show The Game of Thrones. And the kid yells to Stannis Baratheon, my dad saw me play, man. My dad saw me play. Those two moments, I start crying. Roy Hobbs hits the home run, I cry. Dennis Quaid realizes his old dog has been reincarnated into the new dog, into a dog's purpose. Oh, my God. Give me the tissue, I cry. And Kim Fox, when Kim Fox blesses John Cass, I cry too. Oh, bless his heart. Kim Fox texted. I told you about that. It was in the column. May have mentioned it. What about John Quarters Boyle? What about when Kim Fox sees Jussie Smollett and John Quarters Boyle in the same headline? Now, remember this about Quarters Boyle. Coalition for Better Government, tough guy, went twice away to prison, stole the quarters, millions of dollars, came out, worked for Rich Daley at City Hall. After he was in prison for stealing the quarters, his brother, Mike Matches Boyle, you know, Matches, former Chicago Fire lieutenant, convicted of setting arson fires. They would have made a great TV show, wouldn't they? quarters and matches, shot in those How You Doin' West Side studios where Jussie Smollett's show Empire is made. You know who I'd cast in that? I'd cast Chicago's own John C. Reilly as Quarters and Stevie Buscemi as Matches and the lovely Zoe Saldana as Kim Fox with a ponytail. But you know what happened with Quarters? If you've been following my column, you know, a couple years ago he was arrested for failure to stay at the scene of an accident. He took off, couldn't take a blood test, couldn't take a breathalyzer. He was gone. Susana Mendoza chased him down.
Call the police. We did call the police. Huh? Please be careful with this gentleman, okay? Please be careful. The police are on their way. Be careful, guys. Please be careful with this guy. I said be careful with you, sir. You almost ran that man over. I got you on video. I got you on video. Say cheese. You just ran that man over almost. You're the police? Great, wonderful. I don't think you're the police, and if you are, you won't be for long, sir. Here he is getting in his car again. You better take the keys out of that car, buddy, or just leave them in there, I guess.
What?
Be more evidence. You better stay there. The cops are coming. You better stay. All right, see ya. Here he is leaving the scene. Oh my God, there he's going to hit somebody.
She's been at court every day. Every day. Every time there was a court hearing on this case, she went there. And there was some moron, you know, there are plenty of morons in the world, but some of those who do press criticism were extremely moronic. And they said something like, John Cass is going to love Susana Mendoza forever and never criticize her forever because she took that video of Quarters Boyle and she went after Quarters. Well, you know what? I don't think Susana really liked the way I covered her campaign for mayor. That was the way I saw it. But then I was in court this week. And she was still there, and we talked, and I talked to Randy Rooker, too, Quarters Boyle attorney. You know what he said? Randy Rooker? He said, you can find justice in Cook County. Justice is always served, he said. In Cook County, I asked?
For the record, tell me, do you have any comment?
No, I don't. I don't.
And does your client have any comment?
No.
But was justice served?
Justice is always served, isn't it, John?
In Cook County? See you, boys.
Maybe, if you're blessed. Now let's hear what Susana Mendoza has to say about this.
Susana Mendoza, I just chased Quarters Boyle and his lawyer down the hall, and I said, was justice served? And they said, justice is always served. And I said, in Cook County? And they said, yes. Was justice served today?
Well, I would have liked to have seen charges upgraded. We had a video that clearly showed what happened, and I think that it's a travesty to have a system where the guilty actually decide what the charges against them are going to be, and that's what happened in this case.
How so, Comptroller? How did he decide?
Well, the video clearly shows, you know, a series of potential charges that could have been lobbied against him. Number one, he, without a shadow of a doubt in my mind, was drunk. He staggers in the video, but more importantly, the fact that I had to come to every single one of these court cases. I had to really make a case for the last 2 years. The video speaks for itself, yet no charges were added beyond those that Mr. Boyle pled essentially guilty to when he walked into a police department a couple days after the incident and said, here's what happened, right? All of the charges that were levied against him were based on what his rendition of events were, not what actually happened and what I saw and what the video shows. And so, you know, I feel that this case, first of all, should have never taken this long. But number two, I wasn't going to let it go. Not on my behalf, but on behalf of those people that were part of that accident, right? And I think that the little guy just wants to see that the state's attorney is going to fight for them, win or lose, that they're going to be there to defend the rank-and-file citizen or resident of Chicago. And I just don't feel that happened in this case.
I have the feeling, personal belief and opinion, that the state's attorney never wanted this case, that they really didn't want this at all, and that this guy has a history of this kind of behavior. And so if he cracks up, if he kill someone in a car accident, drunk, who's to blame?
Certainly not me. I would say the people who did not bring forth charges, the people who felt that, you know, he should just get a slap on the wrist, should worry about what happens in the future. I don't think it's a matter of if. I think it's a matter of when with an individual of this caliber.
Because we've seen a pattern.
Sure, there is a pattern. I mean, he's a convicted felon multiple times over, and he's known for you know, being intoxicated, quite frankly, more often than not. And so the fact that he gets his driver's license back today, that essentially he gave himself a slap on the wrist, and the state's attorney went ahead and said, sure, make your own charges, and, you know, this is what was found out today. I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me, and it's got to be monumentally more frustrating for the average citizen whose face might not be recognized when sitting in a courtroom.
But they're the people that will be ignored if their child is hurt. Like, your child could have been hurt in that day.
Exactly.
See, that's what people don't forget. You were riding with your it wasn't just Susana Mendoza driving around doing errands. You were with your family, your little boy, right?
Yeah, he was 4 years old at the time. He's six now. That's how long this case has taken. And, you know, again, my concern wasn't at the time when he barreled through the red light that you could feel the gust of wind hit you, and my husband asked me if I was okay. But you're concerned about your child, and you're concerned about the people who were caught in that accident just a couple blocks down when we rolled up to it on our bicycle. And it was no surprise to us that there was this accident because we saw him barrel through that red light. And you know, I just don't think that people should get to flee the scene of an accident and then walk into the police department a couple days later to offer up their own set of charges. But that's essentially what happened in this case.
So the Chicago way prevails again. It's always the Chicago way with these people.
Well, I would want to be clear that this is not an issue that the police department failed. I think they did their job exactly the way they're supposed to do. This is an issue that, I don't think it's good to live in, or I don't think it's good for our society to have criminals decide what their charges should be. And when there are video, when there's a video to actually refute what he said happened and everyone saw it, I think your common sense should prevail, and this video should have made the state's attorney upgrade charges. Whether they lost them or won them in court, as a citizen, I just forget about it. This is not me as a controller. This is me as a citizen who stepped up for some people who were hurt in that car accident. I feel that I want a state's attorney's office that's going to fight to win on behalf of the public, not just cut a deal with the perpetrators.
My regret is that you're not an attorney. Because then you could run for state's attorney.
I think that citizens deserve a state's attorney's office that's going to fight for them.
So did Kim Fox have any blowback before we get in that camera? Was there any blowback from Kim Fox? Because you had asked, I remember writing a column and said the charges should be upgraded.
Well, clearly they didn't upgrade the charges, so I'm not satisfied with that.
Thanks. Hold on. Yes, Susana Mendoza.
That what really bothers me is that we had an opportunity with this case to show that no matter how politically connected you are, you don't get away with these things. You're not going to get away with them, and that's not what happened here.
Because this is Chicago, and this is the Chicago way on WGN Plus.
Yeah, well, it's what we need to get away from, right? So, again, I did my part, but it is concerning,
Susana,
to me to think about, like, what happens when this guy hurts the next person, right?
Right. It's no joke.
We had a chance to stop that today.
You know, the thing I really can't stand about Home and Garden TV? It costs me money. And that's probably every man and woman who aren't, like, into the whole fixer-upper thing. When their spouse watches, like your wife watches Home and Garden TV, and Chip and Joanna, oh, we'll just take out this wall, you know, that nonsense. You know it's going to cost you money. Well, cost me money. We have to update the kitchen, she said. We have to update the bathroom, she said. Yeah, clearly I understand why, you know. She wants to move. She wants to sell because we're going to get killed by property taxes, and or maybe not. Maybe everything will be great and someone's going to move into our house, and I'll hate them forever for moving into our house. Because I like this house. Perfect location. Got a great garden. Talking to you right now from my beautiful paneled office downstairs in the basement with my picture of Ronald Reagan
as a cowboy covering the door? Yeah. And the clink of ice you just heard was, you know, maybe it had some scotch in it. I can't say. Anyway, so I first saw a woman with, I didn't know, she's walking around my house. She's got like a laser pointer. I told Chris and McQuarrie this and Jeff, and they're like, uh-oh. Yeah, well, guess what? Uh-oh. She was from a, so we had the painters for the walls. We had another group that did the cabinet painting. What, am I forgetting somebody? Yeah, probably forgetting somebody. Whatever it is, it costs me money and I hate it. But here's the main thing. During the mayoral election, you know, that last week when things were crazy and we didn't know, and I was living in a hotel in Lombard. Me and the boys. Betty was, you know, locked in. She was going to stay here. I had Yaya in one hotel room, and me and the boys stayed in another hotel room. Betty would come out occasionally and see us and visit us. It kind of sucked. Just the whole thing is crazy. And I ran into a plumber the other day, Mr. Kerrigan. I was doing Dan Proft's show with him. And we were in Wilmette up at Kerrigan Plumbing. I guess they do remotes, you know, from sponsors. And I asked him and his wife. She brought some bagels. They were very nice for breakfast. And I said, do you like HGTV? And they said, oh, yeah, we love it. Of course they do. Of course they love it. Because every time that thing clicks on, they want to improve your house. They want you to have to paint. You have to change the style. You have to change the hardware. You have to paint beautiful oak cabinets. You have to paint them white now because everyone paints them white or gray now. And I just hate all this stuff, man. I just can't stand it. I don't want to leave. I don't want to move. On the other hand, might be nice living in a tiny house in Rensselaer, Indiana, under the windmill, drinking bourbon and screaming at J.B. Pritzker. I could dig that, too. For Illinois Comptroller Susanna Mendoza, and for Jeff Carlin, WGN producer of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, and me, John Cass, husband, father, nationally syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, thanks for being here on another edition of my favorite podcast in the whole wide world, The Chicago Way, on WGN+.